drug recovery centers first became a stop on the campaign trail in the 2016 New Hampshire primary, and they're playing an especially important role this year as presidential hopefuls unveil their plans to tackle the opioid crisis. As part of our series Where They Stand, which takes a closer look at candidates' policy proposals, NHPR's Sarah Gibson looks at how candidates say they'll combat addiction and how their time in New Hampshire is shaping their message.
In his backyard in Laconia, Phil Spagnuolo is flipping burgers for residents of the sober house he runs down the street.
Yeah, can you bring out all the like potato salad and all that stuff too, please?
Like the other people here who are putting their lives back together, free of drugs and alcohol, Spagnuolo is in recovery. 4 years ago, he was sitting in jail for heroin possession. But this primary season, he's getting a lot of positive attention. Candidates want to visit the sober houses, meet people in recovery, and get his thoughts on their plans to solve the opioid crisis.
Yeah, a few of them have sent me their plans before releasing them, and I've given them some feedback. Yeah, I know, right? Who would have thought? I'm talking to a guy that got out of jail 4 years ago. I got presidential candidates coming to my barbecue.
Back in the 2016 primary, a number of presidential candidates visited drug recovery and treatment centers, but they weren't touting the kinds of detailed plans many of this year's candidates have. Spagnuolo says that's because of a cultural shift underway.
You know, this has been like the dirty, dark secret in families for so many years that now it's like so much in people's face that it can't be denied. So I think that people are finally willing to have those uncomfortable conversations.
Today, the candidate having that conversation is Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
Nice to meet you guys.
Gabbard's been here before. She's popping in to reconnect. She tells me earlier today, a woman serving her coffee pulled Gabbard aside and began crying. She said her daughter and her mother are addicted to opioids. The woman agreed with Gabbard's proposal to legalize marijuana as an alternative for people addicted to opioids.
She just says, look, if my mom had access to medical marijuana, it would save her life.
It's common to hear these personal stories in New Hampshire and for candidates to fit them into their campaign spiel. The goal is to connect with voters in a state where the rate of opioid overdose deaths is more than one person every single day. Talking opioids is a strategy that President Trump used 4 years ago, and it helped him appeal to areas of the country racked by overdoses. And in a recent UNH poll, many Granite Staters still say the drug crisis is the top issue facing the state.
Hello.
Hi.
I caught up this summer with Senator Elizabeth Warren. She was one of the first to come out with an opioids plan, $100 billion over 10 years, which she says she'll fund with taxes that target corporations and the ultra-wealthy. The plan would send money to nonprofits on the front lines rather than state agencies.
Let's go down to the local communities and make sure that money is available in the way that the people on the ground who are wrestling with the problem can best use it.
Warren's plan appeals to Aaron Canterbury, a recovery advocate who lives in Epsom. Canterbury likes that both Warren and Senator Bernie Sanders support harm reduction programs like clean needle exchanges, which can be taboo but are effective. Canterbury says voters might not choose a candidate for their addiction policy, but they are paying attention.
I know parents who've lost children to an overdose definitely look at this type of thing, as well as people who are even in recovery. Of course, that's what made me look toward it. I mean, this is my number one issue.
Other candidates like Senator Cory Booker, Senator Kamala Harris, and former Congressman Beto O'Rourke say they'll tackle addiction through criminal justice reform. Speaking on MSNBC, O'Rourke says there are good alternatives to incarceration already, like Manchester's safe stations he learned about while campaigning here.
No judgment safe stations where you can walk into any fire station and get the help that you need right now without being involved in the criminal justice system.
Businessman Andrew Yang wants to go a step further by decriminalizing possession of small amounts of heroin. Vice President Joe Biden also plans to treat addiction through criminal justice reform by expanding mental health services in prisons and in schools. And then there are candidates focused on accountability for opioid manufacturers. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar says she'll pay for her addiction plan with a new tax on those companies, but treatment won't be limited to opioids.
We've seen a resurgence in meth, crack cocaine problems. In communities of color, those drugs hurt more. And to just talk about opioids is a mistake.
And there's another larger question those in the recovery world are trying to answer. What's happening in this country that so many people are in a desperate cycle of addiction?
Thank you so much.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg recently came through New Hampshire pondering that question.
It's something deeper. How else do we have this many deaths from despair, from drugs, from alcohol, from suicide? When people are medicating, self-medicating in this way, what are they medicating for? We have a crisis of belonging.
To solve that crisis, Buttigieg says he'll spend billions each year to ramp up mental health services, especially in rural America. Some voters told me the unprecedented focus on addiction this year gives them hope. But then again, it's campaign season, so they know it's a season of promises. For NHPR News, I'm Sarah Gibson.